Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Ed Richardson. He is the chairman and CEO of Richardson Electronics Limited. The stock symbol on NASDAQ is RELL. Ed, welcome.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, Jack.
Ed, your stock, it seems like it's something that is of interest to many of the value investors in our audience. You reported about 124 million in sales for the 9 months ending in March. You have about 56 million in cash and receivables and another 100 million in assets, but the market cap is only about 70 million. So it seems by the looks of it, like a deeply undervalued stock. And then you have this healthcare business, the healthcare electronics business, which seems to be where there is the growth opportunity. So maybe you could tell our audience a little bit about what your company does, and then we can get into what the upside is for investors.
Sure. Well, we have three business units. The company was started by my father in 47, so we've got 72 years of history. And we specialize primarily in the industrial tube business. So the one business unit we call PMT, which has the Electron Device Group in it, and that's the core industrial tube business, which is about $100 million on its own. And then more recently, we've gone back into the RF semiconductor business, so we have niche technologies that are focused around areas like 5G, for example, and power conversion. And that business is growing quite rapidly. Then the second business unit is Canvas. Years ago, we manufactured cathode ray tubes, and as the technology went flat panel display, we started designing and manufacturing custom displays, primarily for medical and industrial OEM applications. And then the newest business unit, which we think is a major portion of our future, is the healthcare business. We started into that business 5 years ago. First tried to buy a company that was manufacturing CT tubes and were not successful in that area. So we started a greenfield operation, and we've invested about $30 million in that business so far, and we released our first CT tube to market a year ago in June. And then we offer all the replacement parts that go into diagnostic imaging applications, with the foundation being the CT tubes and related parts. So those are the three business units, and we currently have about 400 employees. It's quite a diverse customer base. We have about 2,000 customers worldwide, 24 foreign subsidiaries, and so we have a huge infrastructure. At one time, the company was $700 million in revenue, and we sold off two divisions, the Security Systems Division, which we sold in 2007, and then we sold the RF and Wireless Group in 2011, and between the two sales, we raised about $300 million, a little over that. Paid off a lot of debt, and we bought back a lot of our own stock, and now we're heavily invested in healthcare.
So you've pivoted to this healthcare market. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, the company foundation is around the vacuum tube business, and we had looked at X-ray tubes and CT tubes for some time. And thought, this is the same technology that we use to manufacture industrial tubes, although it's, I say that it's tube technology on steroids. It's a very sophisticated technology, but the one thing around it in healthcare, we think that the replacement market for tubes and parts and service is somewhere between $7 and $8 billion a year. And the tube business, the CT tube business portion of that, is growing every year. So it's the one area of tube technology where we could invest and use our roots, if you will, and the technology that we have to get into a growing business. And so we made that an objective with some of the cash we have to get into that business. And the real foundation is the availability of CT tubes. It took us almost 4 years to develop our first tube, and so far we've invested about $30 million in that business. So it's not an inexpensive business to get into, and lots of barriers to entry, but we're really excited about where we are. We're only the sixth company in the world today that manufactures CT tubes. There are companies like GE, Philips, Siemens, Toshiba, Varian, and now Richardson. So we're in good company, and we think it's a major opportunity for the future.
So you're saying the market is 7 to 8 billion worldwide, and this is for the tubes and the parts, right? For the replacement.
Right. It's the replacement parts and service business in diagnostic imaging, which is a huge market in and of itself. And the most expensive part in any of that equipment is the CT tube. You think about tubes as being small glass tubes that we're all familiar with. Well, this is a metal tube. It weighs 225 pounds. It's all metal. It spins in a gantry in CT equipment around the body at 3 times a second. And the anode of that tube that generates the X-rays is spinning at 6,000 RPMs. So the tube gets up to 1,000 degrees C. So it is a really sophisticated technology. And we built a new factory within our factory here, spent $10-12 million on equipment, and so far about $20 million in R&D and engineering, finally have our first tube. We're actually working on the second tube right now. We have a second prototype which we think we'll be able to take to market in the coming year. The retail price on the first tube that we made sells for about $200,000 retail. In large quantities, the OEM will get that price down to $125,000 or so. We sell our tube at about $90,000. In a retail price and in volumes at $75,000, and still there's quite a good margin in that price.
So the value proposition that you offer is what? Is it the price? Is it the quality? What's the value proposition that you offer in the market?
It's a combination of both. In the research that we've done and the tube that we've developed, we followed the OEM who had, built that tube originally for Toshiba Medical Equipment, and we did a lot of analyzing the tube. We think we know why their tubes fail. They normally last 2 to 3 years in constant service, and they have to be replaced. And we think that we found ways to improve the quality on the one side, but more importantly, the OEMs, the equipment manufacturers, are sole source for the tubes for their products. There aren't independent companies who are that have tubes available, and so medical institutions who have to service the equipment or pay the OEMs to service it. With our tube and parts, we can reduce their cost by 40% or more. So that the main thing is the economy that we provide in the marketplace to reduce healthcare costs.
And So the tubes that you sell, are they f are for which machines do you sell them for? Do you make them for Siemens, GE, and all the manufacturers?
No, so far we've only developed the one tube. It's called the Alta 750, and it is a designed to be a replacement in Toshiba Canon CT equipment. And we chose that particular area of the market because of market dynamics. That tube is built specifically for them by a company called Verex now. It used to be Varian. And they supply it exclusively to Toshiba, who then builds it into equipment and also handles their own replacement market. And because of the market dynamics, we chose that tube to be the first one we would develop. The second tube that we're working on is also in Toshiba equipment. And but from there on, we'll probably go towards Philips and Siemens and GE as well.
Okay, so you're going to roll out tubes for other manufacturers, one by one over the next few years, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah, it's very expensive. It costs about $5 million to develop a tube, and takes about 3 years. Our first tube we took almost 4. So we're pretty familiar with the business, and but it is a very, very expensive proposition.
Okay, so the tubes last the only but you said 2 to 3 years for these the Toshiba tubes right now.
Yes.
Okay, now how
It
many?
depends on what kinds of service they're in. So different medical institutions do far more CT scans in a day than others. So in high use applications, yes, 2 or 3 years.
How many of these machines are out there? The Toshibas.
On the Toshiba, yeah, the Toshiba machine, there are about 12,000. Globally, that's our estimate. And again, the tubes are being replaced every 2 or 3 years, so it can give you an idea of what the total market is. There should be in any given year replacement or total market for that tube around 3,000 tubes.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's a significant opportunity. So 3,000 times
Absolutely.
roughly, potentially 3,000 times 90,000.
That's right, at a retail price, yeah.
Okay, and then you also have other.
So it's a huge market.
Yeah, and you said you have.
Right, and we sell all the replacement parts that go into the scanner as well, so that we can offer a complete menu of parts to the medical institution, including the tube, and save them about 40% on their parts cost.
Okay, and so in terms of getting traction, you started selling last June. You mentioned you launched the tube sales. What kind of traction are you getting in the market right now?
Well, the difficulty, of course, is that the only source for the tube and the parts in past history has been Toshiba Canon. And it's confusing. Canon bought Toshiba Medical, so they use both names at the moment. So all of the medical institutions are pretty much under contract with Toshiba Canon for service and parts, because they had no other source for those parts. And those contracts run 1 to 3 years. And so part of the barrier to entry is convincing the medical institutions to take their equipment off of contract with Toshiba and buy the parts. And we're happy to train their technicians on how to service the equipment themselves. But we still estimate that probably 85% of the equipment in the United States is under contract, still with Toshiba Canon. So our real job is getting out there and getting the information out to all the medical institutions and independent service companies that we have the tubes and the parts available and could save them a substantial amount of money.
So essentially, you're getting positioned sort of, I guess, in second place right now. So waiting for these contracts to kind of roll over, and getting in there with.
Yes, we're busy contacting all these medical institutions, and we've made a real study. We know, you know, where the equipment's located, and now we're making documenting when their contracts expire, and we try to stay in touch with the customers and let them know that we have the product, and we'll be having other tubes as well. We bring a lot of customers into our facility to see our manufacturing facility, and we also do a lot of training. We have Toshiba engineers on staff that have 25, 30 years experience, and so we run a little school, a two-week school to train medical technicians on how to service the equipment so that once they do come off contract that they can service it themselves.
Is this sales cycle similar to your other businesses like the PMT business, or is this a much more complicated type of sales cycle?
No, it's much more complicated. We went through this. This is exactly the strategy that we had over the last 70 years, at least for the last 50 years that I've been around. You know, our total strategy in the company was to sell replacement tubes in competing with the equipment manufacturers for the aftermarket. And that's how we built the tube business. So that business today is still a $100 million business, and we sell 20,000 customers all over the world. But we've taken that business away from the Harris radios and the Continentals and the RCAs and, you know, the Trumps, and all these are equipment manufacturers, and we've gone after their aftermarket. It took us a long time to build a reputation, but we've done that, and we're very successful in that business. And this is the same strategy, but on a much larger scale.
Okay, so you've been through this type of challenge before, I guess is the point.
No, yes, we have. You know, and I have lots of gray hair to prove it.
So it seems like, in simple terms, it's almost like you're in that, laser, the toner cartridge replacement business. You buy the laser printer or the inkjet printer, and then you have these third party manufacturers which are substantially cheaper.
Yes, there's a Supreme Court case on that particular subject called Lexmark. So you're right on.
And the tubes are almost as expensive as a percentage of the sale. They're almost as expensive as the machine. It's like the laser printer business.
Yeah, the machine is, in that case, the CTs, they're less expensive machines, but not with this tube in it. These machines start about $500,000 a piece, something like that. But when you talk about $200,000, yes, it's, it's certainly the most expensive part in the machine.
It's like the printers. It's like the tube is about almost half the cost, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's very interesting.
Yeah,
something investors are paying more attention to now is these tariff wars, with China. Is there any impact on your business? Do you see any kind of impact of existing or potential tariffs having on your operations?
Well, sure, they have some. In our other two business, we buy some products. We have some products made for us in China, and it's not a huge impact, but we probably have $2 or $3 million worth of sales of those products that you now have 25% tariffs on our cost. And it really, most of that we can pass along to the customers. But the administrative cost of trying to keep track of all that information and to report and pay the tariffs to the government is just incredible. But be that as it may, we we've now had that system in place since it was first implemented last July. So the newest round of parasitic is more of the same.
But you operate, you know, globally. Which countries, like what,
yes,
as a percentage, yes, which markets, can, maybe you can break down by region?
Sure. Well, 60% of our business is outside the United States. We have 24 subsidiaries in the major countries all over the world. And probably outside of the United States, our largest market is Europe. And then right behind that is Asia. We have been quite large in China. Before we sold the IRF semiconductor division, our business in China was up to about $150 million. And we still have fairly substantial infrastructure there. We have three offices and 20, 25 people in China. So it's a very important market. One of the things that's happening, the CT business is growing faster in China than anywhere in the world. The Chinese government has, issued an edict that there's currently about 20,000 CT scanners in China, and in the next 10 years, they want 100,000 scanners in China. They're trying to upgrade their medical system, and in the meantime, they have four or five manufacturers that they have funded to build CT equipment, and so that is going to be a huge market in the future.
So they have their own CT machines that they're building, sort of, I guess, so to compete with the GEs and the Siemens.
Right. They have equipment they're building, but they have to buy the tubes from one of the manufacturers that I mentioned. So far, they don't build CT tubes. They're trying. They're trying to learn that technology, but so far they don't have it.
What's going to be the plan going forward for launching, you know, the tubes for the other brands, the Siemens, GE, etc.? Like how, what, like, are you going to launch? You know, is it going to be like every other year, or what's going to be the cycle?
Well, we are working on the second tube, as I mentioned. It's also a Toshiba tube. It's called the 750G, and it's really strategic to us because the newer equipment uses the G versus the D, which we have. And when you're trying to convince these medical institutions to take their equipment off a contract, they say, well, that's fine. You can supply the 750D, but you don't have the G. And we have both in service. So it's really critical to us to have that tube as well. And as I mentioned, I think we have a prototype that should be done this summer, and we'll get about a year's worth of clinical trials before we apply for FDA approval. But we think we'll be a market in about a year to 18 months with that target. But then with Philips and Siemens, it's absolutely the same strategy. It's first developed the tube, but again, it takes about 3 years. And at the moment, we have about 30 engineers and technicians in the CT operation. We have the capability to sell or manufacture about 1,000 tubes a year on three shifts. So it's going to be gradual. Probably you'll look for us to come out with a new tube about every 3 years. To say that it'll be any faster than that is we'd have to add a lot of people. But if we can get some traction selling the product, and we still have about $50 million in cash, so we're, you know, we'd love to break out the back of this building and have to add more manufacturing space for CT tubes.
But your capacity right now is you could basically sell roughly 100 million worth of tubes a year.
That is correct.
If I did my math, yeah.
That's correct.
So, Ed, what do you see, you know, sort of as the going forward, you know, for the next, let's say, 12 months? You know, because, you know, most investors are, you know, have a short-term horizon. What do you see as the biggest, you know, challenges and opportunities, you know, for Richardson Electronics?
Well, it's obviously you can see the price of the stock. The investors are getting impatient. You know, the idea that it took us 5 years to get healthcare going. So the number one priority here is to get traction with healthcare and start selling some tubes and parts and to build that business. But the nice part about it is that we have, the other business, PMT and Canvas. Canvas was up 30% last year, and the total business was up 19% last year. We went from $135 million to $163 million, and on that basis, from a substantial loss to a fairly good profit. So if we can just push this business to $180 million plus, a lot of the additional operating income goes to the bottom line. But there's some real growth in PMT. The RF semiconductor business is heavily focused on 5G, which is just starting to roll out. And that semiconductor business last year went from about $15 million to over $26 million. And when we sold the business in 2011, it was $370 million. So there's an amazing opportunity for growth in that business as well.
Okay. I'd like to get your thoughts, on the dividend. You have, I think you're paying, 6 cents a share quarterly right now?
Yes.
Is this payout rate, sustainable, or, what role do you see the dividend playing in terms of, delivering, shareholder value long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to us now. The stock is very inexpensive, and so the dividend yield is important based on investment. And we still have, as I mentioned, $50 million in cash, and so we're going to maintain, we've talked to the board about it a lot, and for the foreseeable future, for sure, we're going to maintain the dividend as it is.
Okay. Ed, in terms of the big picture, what's your vision for the business, going out, let's say 3 years from now? Like, assuming everything, goes right, with the healthcare side, what is Richardson Electronics going to look like? If you feel comfortable making some revenue projections.
Well, we won't be happy if 5 years out that the healthcare business is not $50 million by itself, and you're going to the old tube business. It's just a wonderful business. The margins that it's not a high growth area. And last year it was up single digits, which was nice. And that's about what we can count on is single digit growth there. And Canvas did really well. They were up 30%, had a breakout year last year. And I don't think we can expect that kind of growth from them every year, but I think 10% growth, and certainly the RF semiconductor portion of this business, again, and when we sold it, it was $370 million in revenue, and 5G is a tremendous opportunity. We're just, you can see that the business went from $16 million to over $26 million this year, so there's a tremendous opportunity for growth there as well. So, I think there's no reason that this business can't be well over $200 million 3 years out, but we just got to get traction out of healthcare.
What kind of earnings could that generate, the $200 million?
Well, it's fairly easy to run the math. I won't go to the earnings, but you could see at $135 million, we were losing $4 or $5 million. At $163 million, which we did last year, we made $3 million. And the reason for it is when we sold these businesses, we kept all the international infrastructure. So we had and have the infrastructure to run a $700 million business. And certainly a $135 million business doesn't support that. what $163 million does. And so if we can just push the number to 180 or to 200, and you know, a large percentage of that operating income falls to the bottom line because we already have the infrastructure to support it. So it you know, everyone can pretty well do their own math. It's I think can be a very profitable business going forward.
Okay, we briefly touched on the 5G area. Can you kind of explain what you know what you're doing in that business?
Yes, we're selling modules and discrete semiconductors that go into the business. In 5G, it's not really like 3G or 4G, which was really just an upgrade of equipment. 5G is a rollout of a completely new system, new base stations, new antennas, new equipment. So it's a much larger rollout. And one of the primary technologies behind the semiconductor portion of that business is something called GaN, gallium nitride. And because of our past experience with the major vendors, we've been able to attract the major vendors in that space, companies like MACOM and Qorvo, Fuji, and their major suppliers for those products, GaN products, and they're the sort of the base for the rollout of 5G.
And so what exactly is it that you're selling to them?
We sell the semiconductors that go into the base stations, into the transmitters. We really don't get into the handset side. It's all the equipment for generating the signals.
Okay, and you know what's so you sell the equipment for the base stations, and you know this is just like rolling out right now. So, what's the size of a typical sale in terms of 5G for you?
Oh, it's fairly small, but $3,000 to $5,000, something like that.
Okay, is that like per base station?
No, that's semiconductors that are being bought to build those base stations.
I see. Okay, but your parts comprise roughly 3,000 to 5,000 per base station. Is that what you're saying, or?
No. The parts go to the OEMs who are building the base stations. So there'd be multiple base stations.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if I could give you an answer as to what the allocation of the semiconductors we sell is what percentage of the cost of the base station. I really don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's kind of what I was asking. But okay. So Ed, you know, to sum up, like what are you know some of the key milestones you have coming up, you know, over the next 12 months? Like what kind of news flow should investors have their eye on?
Well, I think certainly you should watch PMT business and follow the growth of the power semiconductor business around 5G and also alternative energy. We sell a lot of products into that area. And what I think you'll see from the other business units, I think that Canvas, the display business, is doing quite well right now, but probably 10% growth annually, we'd be happy with at nice margins. And the EDG, the tube business side of PMT, is, you know, a $100 million business and just as stable. It's 20,000 customers all over the world. So that's where all the money comes from for doing a lot of these things. But the main thing is watching to see traction in healthcare, you know, how soon we can build the revenue in healthcare.
Okay. So my last question is, you know, in your opinion, you know, what are the key value drivers that investors, you know, should take into account, you know, when considering your stock?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's earnings per share, and that's going to be based upon how successful we are in healthcare and these other technologies like the 5G and also the displays. It's like every other public company, the price of those shares is going to go up as we start to show some additional earnings, and where we are now, we've crossed the threshold and we're making a little money. So I think it's only straight up from here.
Okay. Ed, on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the months ahead.
Good, Jack. Call me anytime. Thank you very much.